You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Jacksonville Jaguars can look to their past to make sure that they don't make those same mistakes in the future. This is Tony Wiggins with the Jacksonville Jaguars Report here on Locked On Jaguars. I'm telling you, man, all of the things that I'm telling you is so the Jaguars can end up putting a ring on it, like Beyonce, right? You want to put a ring on it. And speaking of that, I have to remind you that today's show is sponsored by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. So yeah, man, we as a fan base and members that cover the team are entering uncharted territory here with all of this optimism surrounding what can happen for the Jaguars. And one of the things that I've noticed is, you know, hindsight is 2020, but when you think of the mistakes that were made along the way, sometimes we look back at specific things like not drafting the right guy, and I get it. I think we have to sometimes too look at what led to you not drafting the right guy, and then you have to look at what led to that, and that gives you a better understanding of where we're going and why we're going in this direction. I've been critical of Shad Khan of a lot of things, about a lot of things. I'm not going to be critical of the way that he's decided to be more hands-on now. I'm not. He should be. And I know there are a lot of people that are saying that he's not a football guy or whatever, but how long do you really have to do something in order to be qualified as being smart enough to understand it? Sometimes being smart enough to understand what you have to do isn't about whether or not you know a whole lot about what you're doing. It's, do you know a whole lot about the people that you're putting in place and delegating authority to? What about your structure? He said that there's not going to be a chain of command when it comes to the coach and the GM, that they'll both independently report to him. And that's why I think he wants to get two guys that he knows can work together and get along. It's one thing to work together and get along, but it's another thing for them to also work together and actually make the right decisions. Those are two totally different things. You can get along all day. I think Dave and Doug got along. I do. I really do. I was at the press conference when they were sitting there and they were tasked with taking over the team and running the team without Tom Coughlin being around. I think they got along just fine. But I don't think they made all the right decisions. Ironically, you know what? They probably did make all the right decisions this year because that's why the Jaguars are in the position that they're in. It's a weird thing to be grateful for people that made your team go 1-15. I mean, fans, halfway through the season, fans were killing Dave and Doug. We were killing the franchise. But the only way you get to the point where you are now is the franchise had to do the things that made you want to kill them in the first place. And that's not be very competitive and lose, whether you think it's on purpose or not. I don't think they had much choice last year with the salary cap situation. I also don't think that with all of those opt-outs that they had on defense that they probably – I don't know if they end up with the number one pick. They were in enough games that you – can you imagine if they had a little bit more – luck with injuries and Gunter and Al Woods and all those guys played and they were a little more stout against the run. And Minshew doesn't hurt his hand. Even though I don't, you know, I'm with everybody else and I don't think Gardner was all that great, but you know, he did some pretty fun things when he wasn't hurt. You don't win six games by accident in the NFL. And he did that last year. And they beat the Colts this year. They beat a playoff team in the first game of the season and almost beat another playoff team in the second game of the season. So without all those injuries and some of those opt-outs, I don't think this team is bad enough to be picking Trevor Lawrence. So there was a lot of things that went into this team being where they are. But since they are where they are and they're going where they're going, I think it was good that Shad changed courses. I've been calling for it forever. And I also think it's good that he's changed maybe his attitude and his outlook on how he wants to do things. And there are a lot of people that are super, super critical of that. I do think it's very, very important for everyone to be on the same page. Too many times in the past, if you go back throughout history, I hate to take you back, but I got to walk you back a little bit just to show you where I don't want them to go. Too many times in the past, we all used to scratch our head like, well, who's this coming from? Leave it up to my buddy Doug Marone or our friend Doug Marone. Doug Marone would just flat out tell you, I wish somebody would come down here and answer these questions because I have no clue. Remember that press conference? Remember how transparent that was? And then when you hear Shad Khan's words where he said, these guys weren't on the same page. And I had to give Doug and Dave a chance to do it without Tom. And remember how you heard Shad Khan said, not only does he want someone who has some old school football values, but they understand new football concepts. And then he says, and how to get along with the modern day athlete. He definitely wasn't talking about Doug Marone because Doug Marone did get along with the modern day athlete. When he says that, he's talking about executives. When he says that, he's talking about not pulling guys into a closet on the road when the coach was the one that should have been saying whatever he needed to say and not the management. If I got a problem is, and here's my problem, and some guys that left here, I'm not going to speak for them, but I guess they probably had this problem too. A lot of those guys probably didn't have a problem with Shad Khan. A lot of guys probably had problems with other people, and then they had problems with the fact that Shad Khan didn't step in and stop it. You can't stop it if you're not paying too close attention to it, and you also can't stop something if you have a policy that you're not going to meddle and get in people's way. When you delegate them to do a job, you're going to let them do a job. And if you're going to come in and tell them they can't do their job, you might as well fire them, and that's what he did. So good on him to now be in a position where, and I'll paraphrase a quote, where people won't come and go and be signed, and he has no clue about it until after it's done. And the reason why is because he was delegating that authority and allowing other people to do those things. That sounds like a Tom thing to me. That doesn't sound like a Dave thing to me. So for all of 2020, everybody was reporting to Shad Khan. And now, as we head into 2021 and new territory with a franchise quarterback, more than likely, high probability, it's Trevor Lawrence. And a bunch of other draft picks. And even before you get to that free agency, and even before you get to that, picking a new coach and picking a new GM. And I'm interested. I'm really, really interested to see exactly what it is that they do, how they're going to do it, what the course of action is. I would pay to be a fly on the wall, man. I'm telling you, I would pay to be a fly on the wall to hear the interview process. Gone are the days where you allow an incumbent defensive line coach who's a candidate to be a head coach, the defensive coordinator, actually sit in on defensive coordinator interviews. Some of these things are the dumbest things I've ever heard. And, you know, we can look back now and we can just shake our head, but when they were happening, at least I'm on record as saying how stupid I thought a lot of stuff that they were doing was. I'm on record. Whether it's here or radio, I'm on record telling you how dumb a lot of this stuff was and how it made no sense. And people used to get mad at me for it. But now when you look back in hindsight and then you listen to him, and you listen to Shad Khan, and then you look at the record, and you kind of understand. It ain't about being right. It's just that, look, if I have a feeling about something, I'm going to tell you. And I had a feeling the whole time that it was a hot mess. That entire process, it was just really, really weird to me. No matter how you pick players or how good of a scout you are or how right you sound as a coach, every coach is articulate. Every coach, you know, there's just something wrong at the core. And when something's wrong at the core, no matter what you do, I said this phrase a long time ago, they burnt the onions. You cook something and you start sauteing your onions and you burn them. I don't care what you do. You might as well throw it away and dice some more and put them in there, because whatever you do to that food after that, it's going to taste like burnt onions. I don't care what you put in it, how long. Once you start it off wrong, the only way to do it is to start it over. We'll talk about some more of those things, man. We're going to hit some key points that the Jaguars are facing and things that they have to do. Talk about some of these coaches too, man. Let's break some of this stuff down. I mean, while we're waiting for this interview process to continue, I also give Shad Khan kudos for something else, and I'll do that. The Rooney Rule. He the spirit of that rule has not been followed by a lot of people. You cannot say that for Shad Khan. So the Jaguars are doing some things right. And when they do, I'll point them out. And I'll do that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. First, I need to find out if you are ready for some championship football. If you are, well, it's coming, because that college football championship and the playoffs, they're right around the corner, man, and they're knocking at your door. And if you want to be on the sideline and just be right, how would you feel being right about something and you didn't put any money on it? There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. That's right. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action, and don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. Hashtag BetOnline. All right, so something piqued my interest. It was two things I saw on social media. One, Charles Woodson back in the day begged to come here. This is when they had Big Hen, Big John. This is Del Rio's team when they were really, really good. Mojo D. Charles Woodson was a free agent leaving Oakland. He wanted to go to Tampa. He wanted to come here. And his phone, they said no. And then brought in Brian Williams the very next week. Charles Woodson wanted to. A Gold Jacket Hall of Famer was opining and begging to come join the Jaguars organization. Those are the kind of mistakes that you can't have. Letting go of the wrong cargo and that cargo being let go because of personalities. Holding on to the wrong things and letting go other things. You hold on to Blake Bortles and watch all of this other talent walk out of here. Can't happen anymore. It just can't. Those are the things that you have to figure out to not allow to keep going on. It can't. It absolutely can't. You know, it's like you have to go with the sure thing. It's like gambling. You go with the sure thing. You don't sit here and hope and wish. No, when you see a good player, you keep that good player. And also when you know a game's going to turn out a certain way and you want to bet your money, you bet your money a certain way. And 2020 is mercifully over. Check this out. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. And if you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets where you get your podcasts. I saw where Aaron Rodgers was praising Nathaniel Hackett, the former Jaguars quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. A lot of people were like, Hackett can't hack it when he was here. See? That man can't hack it. That man is being praised by another Gold Jacket, all-time top five quarterback of all time. And Aaron went as far to say something to the effect of how Nathaniel's had a big impact on the culture there. Really? You don't say. It's funny how you guys like that get out of the organization. But all of this time, because the burnt onions existed, they wouldn't let go, you know, of whatever it was, the foundation that they had here. We talk about culture, 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 and guys are leaving here going and thriving other places, not just him, coaches. You can't hold on to the wrong thing and let the right thing go. Why does Calais Campbell want to be here and will do anything to stay here, and he still gets traded away? You can't hold on to the wrong thing and let the good things go. You just can't. So what I think they want to do now is they want to establish a good foundation and a good start with the coach and the GM and, of course, a franchise quarterback. The franchise quarterback part is the part that's going to make all of this go. It's going to make everything better. It should make everything easier. It's gonna put more pressure on the franchise because now you won't have excuses. Trevor Lawrence is a can't-miss prospect according to most people. Therefore, you don't have excuses if he's not developed properly. You also don't have excuses if you don't surround him with the type of program and the type of personnel that he needs. There's a certain quarterback in the division that I compare him to, and they went to the same college, and it's Deshaun Watson. Some people think Deshaun Watson wants a trade and wants to get out of Houston because of that dysfunction that I'm speaking about. This is while it's an exciting time for the Jaguars, it's extremely critical that they do everything correctly. Because you're riding a bike right now with training wheels on it. You got every single advantage your way. Everything's going well for you. It's about time because everything's gone so bad in the past. You got to learn from the past. And I think that's what Shad's trying to do now. He's trying to cultivate. One thing that I did like that he said was, he basically, and it's paraphrasing because I don't have the quote in front of me, he wants a coach and a GM, and mainly a coach that understands his vision for this football team and this franchise and the football operations. So the dude's like a winner. He's been winning and working his way from nothing his entire life. Wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He earned everything. So the dude is used to winning. And he has a vision for what he wants this to be. And now he has to get the people to help that vision come to life. And that's where we are now. I actually want to talk about more of those candidates and what may happen. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what I want to do. And that's what I'm going to do on Locked On Jaguars here in just a second. I got to talk to you first about Built Bar. Man, do I love talking about Built Bars. The only thing I love more than talking about Built Bars is consuming them and eating them, especially when they belong to other people. So you better watch it when you're around me. They got 18 great flavors, 12 original flavors, and 6 new ones. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple crisp almond. Let me tell you about the throwbacks though, man. The banana bread, the peanut butter, the salted caramel, the mint brownie. I'm telling you, I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. Number one protein bar on the market, bar none, no pun intended, because they're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. They're great for keto diets, and they're also great for you because they taste good, and you don't have to have guilt that they're getting you fat, because they're not. They're healthy. All right. There's a free cooler with the purchase while supplies last, and this would only last for a week or so, so you better hurry up and get on it. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On, you'll get 20% off your next order. Use that promo code Locked On, one word, for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, so of course the number one candidate for the Jaguars job is Urban Meyer, former Ohio State, University of Florida, national championship winning coach. Lots of rumors out there, lots of stuff flying around saying that there's interest in Urban Meyer from the Los Angeles Chargers. And there's some people that even debated whether the Chargers is a better job than the Jacksonville job. I don't think so. I think it might be for a year, but it's pretty soon. If you don't win in 2 years, your team is going to be real old real fast, especially your defense in L.A. But there is a connection with Brian Daboll, who actually went to school with the GM. Doesn't mean he's going to get the job, but if he interviews well, I'm sure, you know, that connection matters, right? All connections, all those connections matter. A lot of people, when they think about coaches, and I had to do some research, I called a buddy or two of mine and asked him what was most likely. He said it was 50-50. Do coaches, when they get jobs, or when GMs get jobs, are they most likely to hire someone who they're connected to, that they know, only because of the sake that they know them and they're helping a buddy? I wouldn't want to help my buddy. Like, for instance, I love my kids. I got some best friends. But if I needed to go and cut the Los Angeles Lakers. They, if they call me and say, hey, man, come, we need a barber, but we got 13 guys need a haircut and we ain't got but 2 hours, so bring a few guys with you. I'm going to find the best barber I can to go do that. I'm not going to find my buddies. It just so happens, though, that some of my buddies I know are the best barbers I know. So that would be cool. But I'm not going to take somebody, like I'm not going to call a barber who's a subpar barber just because he's a Laker fan. You feel me? So I asked my friend, I said, what's with this connectivity? Well, he said, well, people think you're just hooking up a buddy. But what it is more than anything is you've been around that person and you know what their work ethic is. So you've seen it firsthand. When you get to that level, everyone's done a good job somewhere to get to that level. And you know what that person's yoked about, or how they're yoked, rather what they're yoked about, how they're yoked. But you know how they move. And more importantly, you know that that person understands you. So familiarity does make you smarter about that individual. And there's less guesswork. Especially if you guys come from sort of the same system and the same operation, and that person knows how you move. Even when I was in the military, when you go to a new base, a guy recognizes you. And if you work real good, if y'all work good together at another base and he's your supervisor, he's like, hey, man, you in my unit now? Thank you. Good. We need good people like you. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the connectivity. But there's another side of this. Sometimes you know who they pick. And this is the part that I wanted to tell y'all. If a head coach, let's say the head coach is, let's use Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith might not pick a guy who he worked with as a defensive coordinator or as an offensive coordinator up under him. You know who he might pick? He might pick a guy he played against a lot and the guy gave him fits. Yeah. Or he may pick a disciple of whoever he learned from that he's never worked with before. Just someone who's kind of cut from the same cloth. Another guy that worked for the guy who Arthur Smith looked to as a mentor. And he might call, hey, man, I need a good quarterback's coach. I need an OC. Who did you train him up? He was your quarterback's coach? Okay, he's there. Okay, I'll call him. Because Arthur Smith realizes that that guy will probably know exactly what he wants. So that's the connectivity part of it. But the other side of it is when you have an offensive-minded coach who gets a head coaching job, a lot of times they'll go find the defensive coordinator or an underling of the defensive coordinator that gave him the most trouble. The one when he sat up and had to do a game plan. Yeah, the game that they lost when his offense got their ass whooped. He'll call that guy and he'll be like, this dude beat my brains out. So let me get the guy that's under him. Sometimes that's what they do. He told me that. My buddy told me that. He said, sometimes they know the people that give them the hardest time, the people that make them work the hardest, they'll go and get a guy like that or that guy and make him, he wants him on his team now. No, whatever you were doing to me, you do that to other people. But you're just going to do it with our colors on. So sometimes when you see these coaches looking around like that and you're trying to guess what they're going to do, it's fun. I know it's just like the draft and it's just like free agents. You're trying to guess the coach and guess his staff. And I do that stuff too. But sometimes that's what it is. You'd be surprised that there is no connection, but it's just respect because that coach does something that used to give you fits. I'm hearing that some of the candidates, like, for instance, Robert Saleh, a little bird told me that if Robert Saleh gets a job, he's running the offense that they run in San Francisco, the West Coast offense. He loves it. You know, he loves it. He's seen it firsthand and how it works. And he's coached against it in that division with the Rams. So, yeah, that's what guys do, man. They, you know. They do that. They really do. And a lot of guys like Saleh because it's not necessary. You got to understand something. If Robert Saleh comes here, he's not going to be his own defensive coordinator. He's not. He's going to be the head coach. And that's what we have to understand about these guys that get these jobs. Arthur Smith, Robert Saleh, and all these guys. Now, some of the offensive guys, they'll still call their own plays, of course. But other than that, when people say, I don't want another defensive-minded head coach. Why? He's not going to call plays. You know what you want? You need to worry about Who that Matt Rhule was a defensive-minded head coach. But what did Matt Rhule do? He went and hired the guy that all of you guys wanted, Joe Brady. So there's no equivocation, or if a guy's a if he comes from one side of the ball, that the team is going to be deficient on the other side. That's not true. If Arthur Smith or Brian Daboll gets the job, what if they go get the number two guy in Baltimore, Wink, Martindale's guy? Or what if they go and get Keith Butler's number two in Pittsburgh? You'd be happy. It doesn't mean the defense is going to suffer because you hired an offensive-minded coach. And it also doesn't mean that when you hire a defensive-minded coach that the offense is going to suffer, because you know what he's going to do? McDermott up in Buffalo is the defensive-minded coach. He came from Carolina. You see what he did? He hired Brian Daboll to run his offense. They'll get a guy that'll basically be the supervisor of the other side of the ball. So stop with this. I want an offense or a defensive-minded head coach. It doesn't matter. What matters is who they get to coordinate it. Your offense isn't going to suffer if they hire a defensive-minded coach. It won't. Mike Vrabel is a defensive-minded coach. He hired Arthur Smith. See how it works? That's how this works. How do you think Shanahan and LaFleur and McVay and all of these guys got jobs? At some point, they were offensive coordinators, correct? You know why? They had so much autonomy and control because 9 times out of 10, they coached under somebody who was the defense. Perfect example, Shanahan, coached in Atlanta. Mike Quinn was the head coach. Defensive-minded coach, right? Look at Shanahan, the offensive coordinator. He runs the show. I don't know why this has to be explained, though, but y'all should know better than that, man. I'm glad you do know to tune in to Locked On Jaguars every day, here every day, because it's your team every day, and we bring it to you. And you can subscribe on Apple, iTunes, follow along on Spotify, as well as other places where you get your podcasts. It's hump day, or it's a day past hump day, so you guys keep taking care of each other. And let's just try to stick together, man, and see where this thing goes for the Jaguars. Until tomorrow, I'll talk to you later. It's Tony Wiggins.